Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Boston sports never rests. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hayward is
an unknown.
He is the softest puppy
because
poop.
He's an unknown.
He's soft.
Ah, yeah, that's the guys at OMF, of course. Maloney, Fourier. Fourier calling Gordon Hayward soft. Now, I'm not going to tell you that Hayward is this rugged, hardcore, scrappy kind of guy. He's not really that way. And he wasn't that way in Utah. And if you're expecting him to be that kind of player, then your expectations are unreasonable. Nick Cattles here, Late Night Sports Radio, WEEI on a Tuesday. And I'm sick and tired of people that I talk to, that I listen to, that I work with. Even my guy, you know, Andy Hart on Saturday morning kind of gets after Hayward. I'm tired of Hayward being treated as the redheaded stepchild. Now, I know that he wasn't great tonight, but I'm still going to stick by my guns. I'm still going to plant the flag and tell you that Gordon Hayward is one of the most important Celtics this season. And if Hayward plays well, this team has a hell of a lot better of a chance getting deep than if they did not have him. So I'm a little tired, I'm a little frustrated, I'm a little fatigued by the idea that Hayward is just this Scrabini, that Hayward is not good for this team, that Hayward is soft. I also heard Fourier say at some point this week that, what'd he say, that Hayward was not impressive, not impressive. I have to disagree with Christian Fourier. And maybe one day I'll do a show on EI with Christian and we can hash this out eye to eye. But I have to disagree with Christian Fourier about not being impressed by Hayward. Quite frankly, I don't know how you could watch Hayward this year and not be impressed. I am thoroughly impressed by what he's done this season. First of all, let's start here. When Gordon Hayward was brought in as a Boston Celtic, what was his role? When Hayward was brought in, he was supposed to be the number one. And if not the number one, he was going to be the number two. It depends on how you feel about Isaiah Thomas. Remember when Hayward signed, he made his decision, and there was that video, IT's like dancing in his kitchen. He's going crazy. The idea at that time was that it was going to be IT and Gordon Hayward. So Hayward, I think, would have been the number one, but who knows how Brad would have run his offense. I'm not sure. Maybe IT would have been off the ball. We don't know. But Hayward was going to be one of the top two guys on this team. He was going to be depended on. He was going to be the guy with the basketball in his hands with 2 minutes left. He was going to be one of the true leaders of this team. That was why they went out and they signed him. That's why he got the cash that he got. That was his initial role. That's what he was supposed to be. But instead of being wrapped up in what he was supposed to be, let's look at what Hayward is on this team. Instead of looking at what his role was supposed to be a couple of years ago, let's look at what his role is in 2020. His role in 2020 is to be the fourth option. That's what he is. I mean, you've got Tatum, who I think is your number one. I still think Kemba would probably be your number two. You've got Brown as your number three. And then you've got Hayward at four. His role has completely changed. So if you're expecting him to score 25 points a night, if you're expecting him to put up some of the statistics that he put up in his final year in Utah, then I think you're being unreasonable. When he was in Utah, he was playing a different role. When he was signed here with Boston, he was playing a different role. Now you look at him, and he's going to be your fourth option. Sometimes he'll be your third. Maybe he'll be your second. Every once in a while, he'll catch a heater, and he'll end up dropping 30-plus on a team one night. But they're not asking him to be this uber-aggressive, take 15 to 20 shots a night. You know, you look at Jason Tatum tonight. He only took 11 shots against Miami in that awful loss tonight in Orlando, down in the bubble. He took 11 shots. Inexcusable. If Hayward takes 11 shots, you're fine with it. That tells you the difference. Let's move on, because not only has his role changed, he has done unbelievably well in that role. What Hayward is ridiculously efficient. And I know that's not sexy. I know that's more steak than sizzle. I know that you want a supreme athlete. You want, as Cam Newton would say, you want a dog. I understand that. But the efficiency in which Hayward plays cannot be overlooked. He shoots 50% from the floor. He shoots just about 40% from three. He shoots 86% from the free throw line. In the fourth quarter, he's missed, I think, one free throw in his last 35 or 36 that he's taken. So he's 50, 40, and 86 when you look at his shooting percentages. When you look in the NBA, I'm talking about the entire NBA, baby. I'm talking about every single player that has stepped on the floor this year. Gordon Hayward is 20th in effective field goal percentage. 20th. He's a top 20 player in that statistic. He's also a top 25 defender. You know, somebody who was seen as soft, somebody who was seen as not impressive. Well, you know, I wouldn't think that person would be statistically one of the top 25 players in the league defensively. And that's what he is. He is statistically, analytically, he is a top 25 defender. I don't want to get too deep into the weeds with some of these statistics, but what I will tell you, when you look at defensive win shares, which people love to look at, everybody loves looking at defensive win shares now in 2020. Well, here's the thing. Dylan, you watch the NBA. You're a big Celtics guy. You know Rudy Gobert, right? What do people say about Rudy Gobert's defense?
He's the Stifle Tower.
He's a Stifle Tower. He's one of the best defensive big men in the league, right? He might be the best defensive big man in the league. As a matter of fact, some people would tell you that Rudy Gobert is the best defensive player in the league. Now, I wouldn't go that far. Kawhi Leonard is at the top of my list. But some would argue
best paint defender.
Yes, absolutely. Best paint defender. Overall, though, he's pretty good. He can move his feet. I mean, he did watch Anthony Davis drop a ridiculous step back three in his face last night. But, I mean, come on. Davis is 7 foot taking a step back three. You can't stop that. But Gobert, to get back to my point, Rudy Gobert is seen as one of the best defensive players in the NBA, bar none. You won't find one pundit, you won't find one analyst, you won't find one scout, you won't find one head coach, you won't find one player, you won't find one fan who would tell you differently. Rudy Gobert is one of the best defensive players in the league. Do you realize that Gordon Hayward in defensive win shares, which is a statistic that everybody uses nowadays, do you realize that Gordon Hayward is better than Rudy Gobert in win shares defensively? Think about that for a minute. Hayward is better than Gobert when you look at that defensive statistic. He is actually 23rd in the league in win shares. So he's one of the top 20 most efficient players offensively. He's one of the top 25 defenders in the NBA when it comes to win shares. He shoots 50, 40, and 86 from the floor. You would think I'd rest my case there, but no, Christian Fourier. I've got more for you, Christian. I've got more for you.
He's the softest puppy poop.
Yeah, I got more for him. I got more for him, Dylan. How about versatility? How about Gordon Hayward's versatility on the floor? See, we can talk about guys like Rudy Gobert being awesome defensively. And I can tell you that Hayward, again, analytically, statistically, he is better than Gobert in some of these statistics that you can look at. But, he, you know, Gobert doesn't bring you the versatility. Gobert is what he is, as Dylan said. Gobert is one of the top defensive bigs in the league. But Gordon Hayward can play, what, four positions, depending on who's running the point on the opposition? Hayward gives you positional versatility. It goes back to when Brad Stevens first took the job with the Celtics. What was one of the things that everybody was talking about, including myself in the city of Boston, when Stevens took over? There was one word that we used over and over and over again. That word was positionless.
I was just about to chime in and say positionless basketball.
There you go. Positionless basketball, Dylan. Positionless basketball to all the listeners out there. And what Hayward does is he allows you to play positionless basketball. I heard Glenn Ordway say that Hayward was redundant. Glenn, again, 2020 NBA, you're looking at wings, man. You're looking at wings. You're looking at wings that can also play the guard position. And, you know, if you want to throw out redundancy because, you know, some of what he does is something that Tatum can do and something that he does or some of what he does is what Jaylen Brown can do. Here's the thing, Glenn. You want multiple guys who can do that on the same team because it makes that team almost impossible to defend. When you have three guys who are interchangeable, and you can count Smart in that group as well in some cases because Smart has ridiculous versatility when it comes to positions. How many times have we seen that guy defend a power forward or a center for a handful of defensive possession?
He's defended Porzingis before.
Yeah, he has. He has. So the versatility of Hayward is something on both ends that you cannot overlook. You simply cannot overlook that. And part of the versatility on the offensive end of the floor for Hayward is the fact that they run the offense through him. Glenn, Christian, they run the offense through Hayward a lot. Not all the time, but a lot. When Kemba Walker is out of the game, they run a lot of offense through Hayward. When Kemba's in the game, they run offense through Hayward. They say, hey, listen, Kemba, you're going to run off screens like IT used to do. Hayward's going to facilitate, and he's going to find you, and he's going to make the right pass. Hayward is one of the best facilitators the Celtics have, if not the best facilitator. Marcus Smart's really good. He's really good at that. You know, I know a lot of people look at Marcus's shooting percentages and they say, oh, offensively, he doesn't give you a lot. Well, they're not giving credit to running an offense. They're not giving credit to some of the things that Marcus does well offensively. They're trying to craft their argument in a certain way to dump on Marcus Smart, which is one of the favorite pastimes for some people in Boston. I get it. This city, some of you, you just hate Marcus Smart. You'll never like the guy. Okay, fine. But if we're going to criticize Marcus Smart for some things, we also need to give him some credit. And one of the things that he does is he's able to run this offense, which is huge, huge. So, you know, Hayward's ability is even better than Smart's ability to run the offense because, again, Hayward has more size. Hayward is a better shooter. You can run Kemba off screens. If people get lost on the screens, if they don't stay attached, if they don't take the airspace away from Hayward, Hayward is going to knock shots down. Again, 50, 40, 86. Not easy to do at the NBA level. Hayward has done that this year. He sets up Tatum. He sets up Brown. And here's another thing. I know he got a technical foul tonight, and I actually enjoy it. I actually enjoy watching Hayward, even though tonight was a bad night to do that. But, you know, it is kind of fun to see Hayward lose his cool for a minute because he never does that. You know, he hardly ever bitches, which is important. How many times have you heard Hayward complain about his role? This is a guy who signed a max deal, was supposed to be a top two option for this offense for the entirety of that contract. And all he's done was subjugate his ego and not have an issue when they brought in Kemba and not have an issue as they developed JT and JB. Just laid back, played his role as well as he could, and just continue to help them win basketball games. I'm sorry, but when you tell me that Gordon Hayward has been, you know, not impressive, unimpressive, whatever words you want to use, I don't think that's fair. I think Hayward has been damn good. And so I will, again, plant that flag with Gordon Hayward's face, his beautiful haircut, slicked back and kind of to the side, that weird mustache that he's rocking now. I'm going to plant that flag, and I'm going to tell all of you listening that Gordon Hayward is a damn good basketball player. And we should be thankful that he's one of the big four on this team because he does an awful lot of good for the Celtics. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. You can also text us, 37937. I see some of you on the text line. I'll hit you up in a little bit. Again, it's 37937. You can follow me on Twitter at Nick C Radio. We got more show to do, Dylan. We got more show. It's Sports Radio WEEI Late Night with Nick Cattles on a Tuesday.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Because sleep is for losers. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
You know, maybe I'm going to invite some hate by doing this, but the people have been actually pretty nice on the text line to me, and I appreciate that. 37937, thank you. I do appreciate that. I was talking about Gordon Hayward last segment, and, you know, more texts tonight than I've seen since I've been with WEEI for the past 3 or 4 weeks, you know, talking about Stevens, and one from the 203, Stevens needs to play Cantor way more, period. I think he could play Cantor more. I would not be against that. However, you know, Cantor, when you're having trouble defending, Cantor's not really the guy that you break glass in case of an emergency in that situation. I'm a little surprised that, you know, the Time Lord's not getting any run. I'm a little surprised by that, even if it's like for a 2 or 3 minute stretch. And I know, listen, he gets a little too overzealous trying to block shots and he misses assignments from time to time. But he has that athletic ability and he has that ability to defend at the rim. I'm not telling you to play Robert Williams, you know, 10, 15 minutes a night. But I am surprised that they haven't gone to him for, you know, at least 3 to 5 minutes or so. Give him a stretch to see what he can do. But again, thank you for the texts. I see a number of nice texts being sent. I'm not going to read them. I see them. I appreciate your words. But I don't want to sit here and put myself over like a professional wrestler. So I'm not going to do that. But thank you for the kind words. And now I'm sure there'll be a string of texts telling me to bleep off, which I'm looking forward to. To move away from the Celtics for a few minutes, because we've spent a good chunk of time on them tonight. just an inexcusable loss against the Heat down in the bubble in Orlando. I did want to touch on the Red Sox for a couple of minutes before I get back to the NFL, because I do have more NFL thoughts. But just for like 2 or 3 minutes here, I've got to get something off of my chest. The Red Sox, again, they lost 5-1 in Tampa. Dylan, is that, what's that, 4 games in a row they've lost now? Like losing count.
I believe that is correct.
Yeah, you know, and with the COVID-19 situation and a 60-game season, we could look at that as like a, you know, a 12 to 15 game losing streak or whatever the hell it is now if you look at the numbers, right? 2.7 each. So it's like a 12-game losing streak. They lost to Tampa tonight 5-1. And, you know, it really was the perfect ending to the way this season has been going. They had not one but two strikeouts looking with the bases loaded in the ninth. Yeah, down by 4. So tying run at home twice, back-to-back at-bats, and two strikeouts looking to end the game. Peraza strikes out looking. Nasty pitch. To be fair to Peraza, it was a nasty pitch. 95-96 on the outside on the black. Nasty pitch. And then Andrew Benintendi struck out again. For like, it feels like for the 1,500th time.
Yeah, we're not shocked about that one anymore.
Not at all. Just a couple things. Rafael Devers, Xander Bogaerts, Benintendi tonight. A combined 0 for 12. Half of their at-bats that counted ended up in a strikeout. 0 for 12 with 6 strikeouts. Now, J.D. Martinez showed some life. He had two doubles tonight, which was nice to see. He ripped one to left. He ripped one to center. That was nice to see because Martinez has been struggling as bad as the other guys I just mentioned. But I'm not about to go crazy and throw a parade for J.D. Martinez because, you know, Xander Bogaerts had a great night on Sunday and then did nothing tonight. Devers hit a bomb on Sunday and then did nothing tonight. So, you know, we get wrapped up into the pitching, and they deserve all the criticism in the world. They do. They just haven't been good. But, you know, you look at Devers, Bogaerts, Benintendi, and even JD before tonight, they've been straight up bad. 0 hits with runners in scoring position tonight from this team. That's just ridiculous. You know, we looked at this offense saying they should be able to score some runs. They're not going to pitch great, but they're going to be able to score some runs. And they've been wretched with runners in scoring position. And they've struck out a ton this year, and their best have given some of their worst. And one more shot that I need to send out there. Bottom of the fourth inning. You know, Tampa's a joke. Tampa's a joke. Two outs in the bottom of the fourth. 3-2 pitch. Eovaldi, he gets screwed. Umpire misses the call behind the plate. You get a walk. Okay? Then the next guy comes up. He hits a pop-up in foul territory, third base side. And Devers is going to catch this and end the inning. But what happens? Oh, because you're playing in Tampa, it hits a freaking catwalk. It's 2020, and we still have Tampa with the catwalks. It's the worst stadium in baseball. It's probably the worst stadium in all of sports. And again, we had the reminder tonight. And of course, Eovaldi, he doesn't get the strike 3 call. He gets the pop-up instead of being an out. It's a foul ball because it hits the catwalk. And then he ends up giving up a couple of runs with two outs. They get down 2-1, and the rest is history. And when you're Nathan Eovaldi, when you're any pitcher right now in this rotation, if you want to call it a rotation, you know, you've got to be perfect, because if you're not perfect, you're going to lose. And that's what happened again tonight. Sox lose 5-1 Tampa. Sports Radio WEEI Late Night here with Nick Cattles on a Tuesday. Thanks for joining me. It is much appreciated. Want to shift gears back to football. You know, when you look at the NFL and all of this opt-out business, the opt-out date is something that's been going back and forth, the deadline. Now, the initial agreement was that the NFL and the Players Union, as soon as they agreed on the CBA addendum, as soon as they signed that addendum about the opt-out and the language was okayed, then a week after that date that the addendum is signed, then the players would have the deadline to opt out. That was it. That was going to be the deadline. So, for example, the NFL and the Players Union finally agreed on the addendum like late last night. So the initial agreement would have allowed the NFL players another week to decide to opt out or not. So they wouldn't have to decide until, you know, next Tuesday or late Monday night. I don't know if it's like a close of business thing or whatever the hell. But they would have another week to say yes or no to the season. The NFL actually ended up pushing that date. So instead of the date of the deadline being next week on Tuesday, the deadline date now is Thursday. Thursday, less than 48 hours from right now. And over the weekend, Devin McCourty talked about this, and he was not happy. He was upset that the NFL was going to push this date and move it up.
It's an absolute joke that the NFL is changing the opt-out period, mainly because they don't want to continue to see guys opt out. I'm sure they're shocked about how many guys have opted out. But it's the same thing when we sign a CBA. Sometimes some of those things that we think are good sometimes backfire. You know, we have rookies who are locked in long-term contracts and tagged and tagged. You guys don't think we would love to change that about the CBA, but we can't. That's the point of signing an agreement. So I think it's terrible. I think it's BS that the league has changed that date. Because you guys know Monday will be our first day in the building. So to try to act like guys are making a decision about something other than virtual meetings is a joke.
It's a joke. And McCourty was right. It is a joke. It's an absolute joke. And by the way, how in the world can you have a deadline? How in the world can you have a deadline when we're talking about a fluid virus? I mean, this is, we don't even have all of the scientific info on this virus yet. And you're expecting guys to make decisions off of what? I mean, and also, these guys aren't even playing right now. I mean, some of them are on practice fields, but pretty much all they've done is walk in and take COVID-19 tests. And then some of them have been able to actually enter into the facility. So you expect them to say yes or no to the season. You expect them to say yes or no to play during a global pandemic based off of almost zero information on how this is going to go with the NFL. You know they're looking at baseball trying to figure this out. There's not going to be a bubble. I mean, they should allow players to opt out anytime. And I don't think the NFL, if somebody decides to opt out, like I know Devin McCourty, I was listening to Tom Curran today, and Curran said that he was texting back and forth with McCourty, and McCourty said that for now he's good to go, he's in, he's ready to play. However, that does not necessarily mean that he's not going to end up opting out down the road. If he feels like that is the best thing for him to do personally from a health standpoint, then he's going to do it. You know, the idea is that these players who opt out, if they're not seen as higher risk, then they get a $150,000 stipend. If they are at higher risk, they get a $350,000 stipend. So what happens here is the NFL is telling these guys, you have until Thursday at 4 o'clock Eastern time to say if you're in or out. If you're out, then you get one of those stipends and we move on. If you're in, then you're in. And I just think that is outrageous. Outrageous. And even more outrageous than that, Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network tweeted out earlier today, this is amazing. There's only two ways that an NFL player can opt out of the season after the deadline on Thursday. Now, again, I think they can opt out. I don't think they're going to, you know, I don't think owners are going to put a gun to the heads of these players and say, oh, you can't opt out. I think if a player says, I'm not playing, you can't force him to play during a pandemic. But Pelissero says, as far as the opt-out language goes, which I believe he's talking about the stipend, there's only two ways an NFL player can opt out. One way is getting a new diagnosis that you have a high-risk condition. So you go to the doctor says, oh, no, you have this. That is a high-risk condition for COVID-19. You should not play. Okay, you can get an opt-out. The other part is truly the insane part. The other way that you can opt out after the deadline that's been set for Thursday is that if a player's family member dies, if a family member dies or is hospitalized or otherwise moves to a medical facility because of COVID-19, then you can opt out. Are you kidding me? I mean, doesn't that seem insane to you? They're telling these players that not only do you have to make the decision right now, in the next 48 hours without even playing football for any period of time, with all the science kind of moving, it's a moving target, right? You're going to make the decision in the next 48 hours. But not only that, if you don't make the decision and then you decide to opt out afterwards, well, there's only two ways that you can do that. You need a high-risk condition, new diagnosis, or you literally need one of your family members to either die or get hospitalized. So your whole family can get sick, but as long as they didn't die, as long as they didn't end up in the hospital, then you're not allowed to opt out. I mean, talk about cold-blooded. Cold-blooded. I mean, that is almost unbelievable to me. And I don't even know how the union signed off on this deal. I mean, I'm sure they probably got some numbers to work out their way, but how could you sign off on this deal? How could you allow the NFL to move up this date? The closer to the football season that we get, you have to imagine the more risk is involved. And the number one priority should obviously be safety, should be the safety and the health of the players. I think it's unfathomable that the NFL has made the decision to move up the date Thursday, 4 o'clock, forcing these players to make a decision when they don't have nearly enough information to do so. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line is 37937. We'll wrap it all up coming up next. It's Sports Radio WEEI's Late Night with Nick Cattles.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Boston sports never rests. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
I mean, I don't like to lose. I don't think anyone on this team likes to lose. We play to win the game. So in that context, I'm upset. I think we all are. Yeah, it's not the first round, but at the same time, it's technically a playoff game. So I think we kind of have to look ourselves in the mirror here and get ready for Wednesday, because playing Tampa, and if we show up when we're not at our best, we could be in trouble. So we'll work on it the next couple of days and get ready for Wednesday.
And that was Chris Wagner of the Bruins after the loss against Philadelphia. Not a great game for the Bees on Sunday. Now they look towards tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock puck drop against Tampa Bay. Steven Stamkos is going to be out for this game. Tuukka Rask is expected to be back for the Bees. And they've got some issues. They're now 0-2 in the bubble. And I'm not going to sit here and press the panic button just yet, but they do have some issues, and they need to turn this around ASAP. This is for seeding. They have a chance here to be the number one seed still if things go their way, but the way they've started, not great. Not great whatsoever. And I'll start with the imperfection line. And I know we've called them the perfection line forever, right? But the imperfection line is just not doing the job right now. And when you are in this kind of situation, getting ready for the playoffs, you're in a bubble, you've got all these weird circumstances happening with you, right? You've got to rely on your studs. Your best guys have to be playing their best, or you don't have much of a chance. And right now, that top line is not playing their best. Far from it. They had zero offensive pressure on Sunday. Zero. Now, I do think they'll figure it out. They're way too talented. And as of what we know, they're healthy. Too much talent, and they're healthy. I can't believe that Bergeron, Pastrnak, and Marchand are going to continue to play the way they played on Sunday for the remainder of their time in the bubble. I can't believe that that is what's going to happen. But you have to rely on your very best. And the imperfection has to turn into perfection sooner rather than later, or they are screwed. Jack Stadnicka, by the way, MIA as the number two right wing. And maybe Andre Kasha will give them a little bit of a boost when he's actually back and ready to go and staying away from COVID. But they need something from that right wing spot on the second line, because Stadnicka, again, he was lost. He was lost. And they had to flow other guys into that line in the second and third period. They need more from that spot. I also talk about special teams. You know, one of the reasons why you expect the Bruins to be really good, and one of the reasons why they were the best team in hockey before the suspension of play, is because of special teams. They've been great on the PK, and they've been great on the power play. They were number two in the power play during the regular season. Well, you look on Sunday against Philadelphia, and I know Philadelphia was hot before the season got suspended. I know they're feeling themselves a little bit, but four shots on three power plays from the second best power play in hockey, four shots on three power plays. Well, I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing? They have to be better. They've got to be better on the top line. They've got to have something from that second line on the right side. And they have to be much, much better on the power play. And when you look at the lack of offense and the defensive issues, they had some issues, right? They had a bad line change on Sunday. Carlo had a bad pinch. They were skating on their heels a little bit. You saw that with Lozon, kind of got lost in the middle there, right above the crease for one of the goals. So they've had their problems. You know, not enough offense and some defensive lapses. And what ends up happening when you have those two things combined, losses is what ends up happening. And this is going to be very difficult because their next two games, no joke. Again, tomorrow afternoon against Tampa. Tampa's a very good team. They get a break with Stamkos. Then they've got to play Washington. And the Capitals, they have had the Bruins number. So this is not going to be easy. I would say that it's unlikely they finish with the one seed, but at least there's no true home ice, and at least they're not going to be traveling. But they have to be better. Frustrating night. I mean, Celtics, inexcusable loss. Red Sox lose again. Hopefully the Bruins start this whole turnaround tomorrow and we feel a lot better. Thanks to Dylan Mitchell for producing the program. Thanks to all the listeners and the texters. You guys were great. Much appreciated. That does it for me. I'll be back tomorrow night. This has been Late Night Sports Radio WEEI with Nick Cattles on a Tuesday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.